Chris, Felger, and Mass.
Yeah, Rex Ryan here.
Oh, I hate guests.
Yep.
There's no reason to touch them.
Keep it in your pants.
Why would you do that?
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Seconds left. Gardner, right circle, Marner shoots, blocked. The Bruins paddle it up the left side and out to center ice. And as they've done all season long, winning without key players in their lineup, today victorious without Patrice Bergeron. Your final tonight at the Air Canada Center. Bruins 3, the Leafs 1. Saturday night, the Bruins have a chance to end this series in Boston.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. It's Felger and Maserati on an agenda-free Friday. This is brought to you by Planet Fitness. The world judges, Maz. They don't at planetfitness.com. I'm coming to you from parts unknown here on an agenda-free Friday. Maz comes to you from our Town Fair Tire Studios. Anthony, how are you, kid?
Good, you?
Just peachy. Thank you so much. We are broadcast as usual and simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. You know the deal on Friday. Everything from the week, anything we've gotten to or have yet to get to, it is all up to you. Jimmy, even from my remote location, I have already logged in and all set on the call screen, so you may release the hounds at 617-779-0985. As soon as they're loaded up, we'll go to you. We give you some opening thoughts. Again, it's everything from the week in the world of sports around here. We're also going to spend a great deal of time today remembering the great Gil Santos. There's already been plenty of tributes and remembrances here on our air all day long, and we will continue that throughout the course of the program. So Gil is going to be right there with us the entire time, and feel free at any point in time to call in and give us your thoughts on Gil Santos and his great career and his passing. And again, just off the top, all of our condolences go out to Gil's family, and just a lot of love and respect for his family and what he did and everything here that he was a part of, a big part of all of our lives, I think is safe. I'm safe saying. So again, we will have that all day long. We'll give you some tributes as well for Gil. But let's give some opening thoughts, Maz, before we kick off and get to the phones. What do you think?
Okay.
What did you think of your Bruins last night?
Look, that is a classic old school, you know, Bruins blue-collar win. Grinded out. They got outplayed for most of the game, certainly the first two periods. Once they got the lead, they obviously went into shutdown mode to me and really smothered the Leafs a little bit. And, look, I thought it was a, you know, terrific win for them under the circumstances to be able to win it the way they did. And to me, it amplifies the point that I think all or most really good teams have, and that is they can win different ways. They can win different kinds of ways. They can win 7-3, they can win 5-1, or they can get outplayed, get a good game from the goalie, button it down in the third period, and win the game 3-1. So to me, a win like that in a lot of ways gets me a hell of a lot more excited than the 7-3 win in game two, where there was just plenty of space, plenty of time to operate, where you weren't really challenged. This one to me showed some mettle, showed some character, and so I give the Bruins all the credit in the world for it.
Big Jim, you got a thought?
Yeah, last night to me, it's just further proof that this team has that it factor. They have that it factor, and they're going to the Cup Final and probably going to win the damn thing. I felt that way for a while, but you know, you hear the news almost last minute about Patrice Bergeron being a healthy scratch with this upper body injury, and I'm like, oh God, here we go. And you know, they start off great. They get the crew goal within a minute, and I was like, all right, here we go. But then, like Maz just mentioned, those first two periods essentially go to hell. You have you got Tuukka Rask standing on his head, saving their asses last night. But more than anything else, it's when they were down, it felt like it was not going to be their night. They get that nice bounce. You have Pasternak, you know, scorching up the ice, and you have Marchand trailing. It's not so much the goal by Marchand that I've rewatched about 15 times. It's that pass. That pass where he completely just fools poor Anderson. Like, I almost kind of feel bad for the guy. Like, okay, he's setting up for the shot. That pass is, I mean, it just made it move. It really did. I mean, every once in a while, you get something in sports, you're like, oh, I'm going to just keep watching this and watching it because it's sports porn. And that pass is, it was a thing of beauty. So the night that you get from the goaltender, the team overall, when it felt like it just wasn't going to be their night, even going into it when you heard that Bergeron news, close it out on Saturday night, man. Like, I don't know how you don't believe at this point that there's something special going on with this Bruins team.
So, look, can I jump in real quick here for a second? Because, Murray,
you
beat me to this. I almost did this as my opening thought. When I saw the headline on Shaughnessy's column today, okay, the Bruins were getting outplayed. Then Brad Marchand did something about it. What did Marchand do? That whole play was Pastrnak.
Right. He basically had an empty net.
Oh, it was a completely empty net. All he had to do was put the thing in there. That was a piece of cake. Pastrnak made the play. He chipped the puck out. He went and got it. He made the pass. For Marchand, there was no task there at all.
I mean, he did get the goal, but you're right. Like, I'm with you. It was Pastrnak.
Oh, God, you could have scored that goal, yeah. Murray, please.
The Claude Julien Bruins couldn't. They'd hit it off the high glass.
Yeah, Peverly.
It was a great win. It was a great win. I got a lot of thoughts like a lot of you do, but that was a big boy win. That's one you should feel good about. That's one they should feel good about. It's a great stealing one, isn't it? I mean, you weren't the better team, quote-unquote. I mean, that's what made it so great. You stole one.
Oh, totally.
Isn't it great being on that side of it? I mean, how many times have you seen the Bruins in a game, you know, usually against Montreal, but just name it, against a skilled team where they control the play. They're probably the better team. They have more shots. They have more action. And there's two rushes down the ice. Montreal scores. You lose 3-1. And you're banging your head against the wall at the end of the night. And their goalie stands on their head. And they get a few chances. They convert them. You've peppered 40 shots on net. You got one to show for. Like, how many times have the Bruins and the Bruins fan been on that other side of it? A million, right?
Forever.
Oh, forever. So that's, to me, that's what makes that one feel so good. And, you know, your first star has to be Tuukka Rask, for those of us who doubt his ability to go in and steal you a playoff game. He went in and stole you a playoff game last night. That's great to see. I think this team's going to need that if they're going to win a cup. So I think you do start with Tuukka Rask, but it's really about the team and just that kind of win. It's great. The Bruins are that kind of team that can win that kind of game. And so you should feel good about it. So we're off and running here on Agenda Free Friday, brought to you by Planet Fitness, as promised, right to the phones. Nick in Rhode Island, what do you got for us? Lead us off today.
How are we doing, gentlemen? Happy Friday.
Same to you.
Hey, real quick, Mikey, I'm just going to lead into it just because you just touched on it. What a mushy move on your part, eh? Kind of saying that Rask can't pull one out of his backside and win him a game for him, steal one on the road. Anyway,
why is that mushy? Meaning I just jinxed it. Or, yeah, I'm wrong.
Yeah. I mean, well, yeah, yesterday you were saying how he couldn't do that. He did. I mean, there you go. But 2013, they were up 3-1 to Toronto, and I don't want to let the wind out of the sails here. I mean, that's the first call of the afternoon. But you can't let your foot off the gas here because Toronto has outplayed you the better part of these last two games. And like you said, Rask stood on his head. Excuse me. And You got to, like,
so Nick, you don't think it's over
in Boston? No, I mean, it's not over, but you got to bury it in Boston. You can't send that back to Toronto.
Maz and Murray, is it over?
No.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah, I think maybe I'm putting too much into this, but in a game that felt like it was not going to be their night, after that goal by Marchand, it was like you could feel that building murdered, and I think the team was part of that too. I think the Maple Leafs have close to no chance here on Saturday night.
Yeah, I don't think it's over. I mean, first of all, let me start with the obvious thing, which is that I have way too much respect for the NHL playoffs. They're so unpredictable. These games, the margin is often so slim. And so I have too much respect to think that this is like slam dunk, it's over in game five. Let me ask you, what if Bergeron's out again and Kadri's back? How do you feel going into that game?
I mean, I think Toronto would have a good chance.
Yeah, so I don't think it's over. I don't. I love where they are. Don't get me wrong. How can you not love being up 3-1? But again, you know, the caller brought up 5 years ago. To me, it's just the nature of the NHL playoffs. Those things can change fast.
Dorby in the car, your thoughts?
Hello?
Yes, Dorby, you're on the air.
Hi. So my point I want to bring up is exactly what the first caller was talking about, but of how wrong he was. So this is the first game Rask has stole all season, I'm pretty sure. And now he's just this elite NHL goaltender who has been playing lights out all season. He had won the game. Why are so people trying to rip you for that?
I don't know who's trying to rip me. I mean, we've taken one call. It's good that he got it. I mean, it's great. My doubts that he could do it. But I don't know. Does that close the book? I mean, you got to, like, to be an elite NHL goalie, you got to do that round after round for 2 months and then win a cup. So I hope he's that guy. I hope they're good enough where they don't need him like that. I mean, if they're going to get outplayed like that, and look, I'm not blaming them. Bergeron's out. That's thrown on them at the last minute. So there's reasons there, and Toronto's a more desperate team. But I don't know if Rask has to do that every night or even every other night. I don't know. What's your confidence level?
Well, I'll tell you I'll take it. I'll take it once a series. Like, as long as it contributes along the way, if he can give them something. Last night was big. You know, they because that second period, for them to come out of it up 2-1 was a near miracle. The ice was tilted, and, you know, the breakaway on Marner, that was about halfway through. Like, if you look at the volume of saves, I don't think it was there. Go ahead.
You're right to bring up that breakaway save. You're right to bring up that breakaway because those are the ones, those are the momentum changers. It's 1-1, he's in all alone, and it's sort of like, well, there's the game on his stick, and it's that moment. And if you just want to, again, hearken the Tim Thomas kind of saves, that's what Thomas did repeatedly. Sort of at that moment, game in the balance, breakaway. There's something about the breakaway shot, and that save, you know, that's the save. That's the going and steal you a kind of game save. God bless it. If he wants to do it, go do it. You think I don't want him to do it? And if you thought he's, I mean, if you think he's done this on a routine basis, and I don't know what world you're living in, but fine, better late than never. I'll take it. He did it last night. God bless. Keep doing it, pal. Let's grab a Gil Santos call. John and Quincy, you have thoughts on Gil Santos?
Hey, guys. So I was only born in 96, and I barely knew who he was until about a few years back. But I just wanted to say about him that is that his voice will really just echo throughout eternity. He's got a great legacy and a great honor.
Yeah, I have some opening thoughts on Gil, Maz. You have any thoughts on him? You grew up with him.
Yeah, I looked to me, there was nobody that was more synonymous with Patriots football than Gil Santos. The team was horrid. And, you know, what you forget, too, with a play-by-play man like him, who did it for as long as he did, you sit there and you say, you know, this guy's like part of your life. And you don't even realize it at the time that every highlight, every big call, it's always him. You listen to the games with him. And I thought he was away from the booth. To me, he always struck me as a gentleman. And I don't know any other way to put it in that I thought he was a good, solid, dignified guy. And look, the skill that he had in the booth, to me, speaks for itself. And he was missed when he left the booth. He'll be missed even more now, particularly by his family.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Rink wide for Krug. Shoots. He scores! Torrey Krug, top shelf by a screen, Freddie Anderson. A lightning strike. Bruins with a 1-0 lead. Puck fought for near circle. Into the slot. It's fired. They score. Plekanec. Marlow centers. Rask the save. Rebound. And Marner could not recover it. Moore right circle. Shoots. Rask the save. And here's Marner. Speeds up into the slot. Shoots. Rask the stop. 2-on-1 maybe. Pastrnak over the line right side. Centers. Martian. He scores! 2-1 Bruins. Krejci over the line right side into the right circle. Centers fired. They score! 3-1 Bruins.
He played a phenomenal game. You know, he's one of the best goalies in the world. And gives us an opportunity every night. Made a lot of big saves at the right times early on to give us a chance to get back in the game. And we're really going to give him a lot of credit tonight.
Just before game time, as we said, he had an upper body injury we were managing and wasn't able to go. So he'll be classified as day-to-day, and hopefully he's better and ready to go Saturday.
You know, when Bergeron didn't play tonight, you're set up pretty good. You got to find a way to win. This is in our building, and you got to win.
I mean, that to me is a story. To lose that player an hour before the game, I mean, maybe the players knew, you know, sooner, but to lose a player like that and still go out and get that win and play the way that you played, that's the story. It starts with the goalie, but that's just a great win for the team. There's so many other things I found interesting. You know, they put Wingles in the lineup and not Ryan Donato, which, you know, I know that frustrates a lot of people. Me on some level, right? You know, the scoring. So series about speed and skill and scoring, and you're playing Tommy Wingles over Ryan Donato. I think it was the right call. How many shots did Tommy Wingles block?
4.
How many shots did the team block?
Okay, so I'll get you the team number in a minute. But Wingles blocked 4. He was tied for most on the team with Krug. And the way Wingles does him, that's old school, man. He goes down on one leg. Like he does, he goes right down there and gets that thing. He's not afraid of it. Like that would, they definitely buckled down there. And I bet you a bunch of those were in the third period.
Well, and you know, I mean, this is what I was saying yesterday, that, you know, the advantage the Bruins do have over the Leafs is that they're a better checking team. They're a better defensive team. They're better on the D-core. So, go on and grind out a win. get out of, you know, get a road win, block shots, do that sort of stuff. And that, you know, Tommy Wingles is more adept at that than Ryan Donato. There's no question about it. And I think, you know, I think that was proven to be the right move. To me, the second guess might be Heinen over Donato, because I'm beginning to wonder exactly what Heinen does. You know, I don't see him blocking shots like that. But, you know, I mean, that's either here nor there. Wingles is in the lineup. I know that's frustrating on the face of it, but the way that game played out and the way that game was played, I think that was the right move. I think that the number of block shots from the team, just tremendous buy-in from the team. Like, that's how you got to win that kind of game. And a few other notes. Murray talked about the Pastrnak pass on the 2-on-1. I think the Krejci pass was even better, frankly. That his sauce, Maz, his saucer pass, David Krejci's saucer pass, it still has to be one of the best in the league. I don't know who else I would compare it to. It's still one of the best I've ever seen. And talk about needing a big play from that guy. Because I don't know if he was playing very well last night. I don't think he was playing very well last night. He had a big giveaway that led to 1 2-on-1 that Tuukka saved his ass on. And we've still been, you know, where's David Krejci? Where's David Krejci? Where's David Krejci? Well, he stepped up on that play. They needed a big play from Krejci, and they got it. Let me just say on the...
He's just got such great touch. And again, even on that play, it was not terribly unlike the Pastrnak play, right? Like, you know, he blocks the puck, is able to get a 2-on-1 out of it, and then DeBrusk made a good shot on the play too, because the one thing I think Krejci didn't do on that play is what Pastrnak did. Krejci never sold the shot at all. There was no threat of him shooting that puck. So DeBrusk had to make the shot on top of it. But it's about freaking time that Krejci made a play.
Absolutely.
He was 4 out of 19 on the dot last night. Go ahead, sorry.
I don't think he played a good game. I don't think he played a good game. But he made a big play when they needed it. Needed it. And just finally, I think the crappy defense there in Toronto's catching up to him. You know, that Marchand goal, what a wretched play by Gardner. Absolutely horrible play by Gardner on the blue line. You've got to go puck or man. He went neither. There's, 2 minutes left in the second period? It's a tied game. It's the playoffs, dude. And you're going to make that kind of weak-ass play? That was a wretched play by Gardner there on the blue line for Toronto. And, you know, again, maybe that's the difference here. The Bruins' ability to defend, their decor, their goaltender, that's what's going to win them this series, should win them this series.
And to answer your question, the Bruins blocked as a team 27 shots last night. The Leafs blocked 9.
Tremendous. Okay, back to your phones here on an agenda-free Friday. Mary in Marshfield. Hi, Mary.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I just wanted to weigh in on Bergeron. I really, after the press conference, after the second win, he was quiet. He was subdued. It was definitely something up with him. I was talking about it all weekend, and I'm not shocked. I mean, the kid played with a punctured lung a few years ago, so something was definitely up with him. But I just got to say, Tuukka, hats off to you, Tukes. I guess the Pepto-Bismol kicked in. He really played on his head. That save with his body was incredible. He just put himself out there. Get up off your knees, stand up, and take up that home net. I cannot wait for Saturday night. Thanks, guys.
Stole him a game. Maz, do you have any guesses on Bergeron? Because I do.
Well, I have theories. I mean, the first thing that pops into your head with him always is the concussion. I mean, that's the first one that pops into your head, but there is a video circulating, I don't know if you saw it, where he took a hit from Plekanec in game 3.
Yeah.
And he get hit up high, and it's just, to me, a little unclear as to whether he get hit, like, right on the chin or whether it's the chest or shoulder. Like, I wouldn't completely rule out some sort of shoulder or even sternum injury with him, because they did say it's something he's been dealing with, right?
Oh, they said that?
I thought so. I thought I saw a comment from Cassidy. I'll see if I can find it again, where he said it's something he's had to deal with at the end of the year. So I wonder if maybe there's some sort of shoulder issue, and they said, you know what, we're not going to put him out there.
Huh. Well, you know, maybe. I default to the head injury, too, because, as Mary just said, he's played through punctured lungs. You know, like, these guys play through all of this stuff. Except the head injuries, you know, the head injuries have really, you know, it's a different time and guys treat these different, especially Patrice, who's had some bad ones, had just a horrific one almost 10 years ago now, really. So, or over 10 years ago. I mean, now that I think of it. So I think that these guys play through all manner of stuff except for the head injuries. So that's just still what I think on Patrice, but to be able to, you know, pick yourself off the mat after that, just tremendous. Let's grab a few Red Sox calls here on Agenda Free Friday. Chris in California, go.
Hey, Felger. This calls for Tony, but just want to say Bruins take the Leafs this weekend. How exciting is it to watch the Seas, even though we know they don't have a chance of the title this year? I just want to say New England is definitely spoiled. Hey, Tony.
Yeah.
So I told you the Santonian and the Spankies were going to be feast or famine, and that was after the Joe Kelly meltdown at the Trop. Now, with that said, you know, the Sox, 16-2, the number one team in all of baseball, they finished the AL West trip in Oakland. But I'm looking really at that Blue Jays series to take control of the division, and then we get to feed again on Tampa. Now, I know it's only a month, but one, how important is that Toronto series? And two, did we speak too soon on crowning the Yankees, Indians, and Houston in the AL?
So here's what I'll tell you, okay? I'm not ready to crown the Red Sox yet. They've played 18 games, and I'm happy to hear them saying it. And look, the start is amazing. Like, again, first at bat last night, Betts hits one out. You're sitting there going, this is unbelievable. It just it doesn't relent. So the three games in Anaheim, as we all know, 10-1, 9-0, 8-2. I mean, you just kicked the crap out of them three nights in a row. So what I will say is, if you ask me what is more likely, that the Red Sox continue playing this well or the Yankees continue playing that badly, I go to the Yankees. I think that team has some issues that maybe we didn't give enough credence to. And they're banged up, but they played bad defense. It could be a plodding, ugly baseball team.
Tom and Quincy, follow up on the Sox.
Hey, what's up, Mike? Hey, Tony, I called the other day about, you know, everyone in the national media saying they'll wait till the Sox play someone good. After the absolute ass-kicking that the Angels got in those three games, and the kid Chris just called, kind of stole my son a little bit, but... don't you really have to start looking at them like, oh man, like they're a wagon? And
yeah, Maz, when do you start doing the whole man thing?
Well, I'm not quite there yet. I mean, I told you though, this streak is impressive. You know, to win, you take opening day out, and they've won 16 of 17. And I saw today the last time they did that was the end of 04. So, and we all know what that team was, and I've said this to you a million times, Mike. That team at the end of 04 was the best I've ever seen the Red Sox play. Okay, for a 60-day stretch, counting the playoffs, they went 45-15. And they were just taking teams apart. I mean, they were dominating at the end of that year. And right now, again, 16 out of 17 speaks for itself.
Agenda Free Friday continues, brought to you by Planet Fitness, right after Murray's update.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Welcome back to the program. Felger and Maz on Agenda Free Friday, brought to you by Planet Fitness. Again, I'm in parts unknown. Maz and Murray come to you from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Brighton. Bruins, obviously a big focus today, as is Gil Santos, remembering him. And obviously all the Patriots stuff from the week, which will never go far from our thoughts either. Here's Steve in the car. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, Felger, quickly, is the Felger and Maz big board making an appearance anytime soon or no?
Starting Monday, Steve. Thank you for asking. Starting Monday.
Of course. And, Murray, happy 420. Anyways,
you too.
Yes. Maz, I love you. But when it comes to this Jimmy G situation, okay, you're really crawling up my mail chute. So the Stanton trade, you always tell us, yeah, you know, you got to let the process play out. It's too early to judge. And then the Red Sox, you know, yeah, we should give them a banner for April. Yeehaw. You know, but when it comes to Jimmy G, you always say how the Pats let the franchise guy go. You know, they had the next guy. They blew it. Maz, you can't have it both ways, okay? He has played in five meaningless games. Okay, let's let the process play out a little, okay? You got to be consistent. You can't have it both ways. Let's see him play 16 games, a full season. Let's see him play with an injury. Like, Maz, you can't say for us that we need to let the process play out with the Yankees and the Celtics and the Red Sox, but then when it comes to Jimmy G, he's already the next Joe Montana.
Okay, so look, that's fair. I mean, that's fair. What do you want me to tell you? That is fair. But I'm telling you that I also think that this is the kind of decision, if you call it in real time, it's a one that can alter the fate of the franchise for years. Years. And to me, if Garoppolo ends up being a bum, then they'll have been right. Although I still come back to the whole point of, do you think he would have been good with Belichick?
Well, but the point is not even that, Maz. I think, I don't want to speak for you, but Bill wanted him. Okay? So whatever Garoppolo turns out to be, the fact is your coach, who you entrust with football decisions, was usurped. The coach wanted him. And maybe the coach will end up being wrong. I mean, the caller, you know, let the process play out. Say that, tell that to Bill. I mean, Bill might be wrong about the guy, too. Bill wanted to coach Garoppolo. That's it. And he was not allowed to make that decision. So that's the crux of it. And we'll find, you're right, time will tell what Garoppolo is or is not. But that piece to the story is over. They closed the book on it. Belichick wanted to coach Garoppolo, wanted to keep him. And he wasn't allowed to.
And you know that, yeah. And you know the other part of the story that drives me crazy is a guy like the caller will say, "Well, he went to San Francisco and he sucked." But the same guy will say, when they pick up some bum from somewhere and bring him in, Belichick will get something out of him. So when they bring in a guy, the coaching matters. But when they let him go, it doesn't. Like, of course, the coaching matters. To me, Belichick and Garoppolo worked. It worked.
Here's Pat in Boston. Hi, Pat.
All right. So I just want to get to my quick Tuukka rest on, and then I want to get to my main point. So I'll give Tuukka all the credit he deserves for last night. He absolutely stole that game. But the thing that's been bothering me about him for years now is his lack. This guy cannot play the puck when he comes out of the net. Every time he skates out of the net and tries to set up the D or fling up the boards, it turns into a fire drill. And it happened again last night. At the beginning.
That was a bad one last night.
Who was it ever?
Oh my God! And if with not even a minute gone in the second period, and there's already chaos in front of the net because he can't just set up the D without coughing it over.
Okay, but, fair enough. But look, today's not the day to bitch about Tuukka Rask. He was really good last night.
You're right. So, but the thing that I wanted to get on, and I'm not saying that they need to do this right now or that they ever will, but something to consider if. Say this team starts to, they move past Toronto, they get in the second round, maybe even the third round, and that Krejci line is not going, and Nash, Krejci, they can't hit it off, and they're not getting any contributions from any of those lines besides that top line. Do you think that there's any chance that Cassidy will take Bergeron off that top line, put Nash there, because that Marshawn Nash Pastrnak has worked when Bergeron was out in the midseason? And will he put him with Nash and DeBrus and put Krejci on that third line?
Great question. It's an interesting one.
Don't you highly doubt it? Do you think there's any shot he breaks up Bergeron and Marchand?
I think it's highly doubtful, Maz, but I liked his idea. I mean, if Krejci can't get it going and they can't get any secondary scoring and they've proven that Riley Nash up there works, I don't know. I just think that that's not awful. I don't think that that's terrible. Now, again, splitting up Marchand and Bergeron, you're right. They're probably not going to do it. The answer is for Krejci to get off his ass and play better, and for Rick Nash to get off his ass and play better and produce. I mean, that's obviously the answer. But here's a question on Patrice Bergeron. Let's say it's not a concussion, and I got folks, the guys that cover the team, tell me that he's skating today. Bergeron skated today.
So I think he skated the other day too. They had 2 days off between games, and he was on the ice. So, go ahead.
So if he has a concussion, Maz, they're not going to let him on the ice,
right? Well, that's what I think, too. I don't think he'd be out there at all if he had a concussion.
All right, so maybe it is an arm, shoulder, whatever, something of that nature. Do you sit him out next game? You give him one extra game? I mean, you think this thing's that in the bag where you sit him out if he's questionable?
No.
See, I'd take it from the opposite point of view. Like, apparently they said today he's a game-time decision for Game 5. Like, they're going to decide on the fly. And I look at it as... Well, if you put him out there and you rub him out, he'll get some time to rest. I mean, I think, I guess it depends on the other series. But to me, I like the idea of being able to rest him between series.
Okay, Agenda Free Friday. Here's Dale in Maine. He keeps calling us. He's never ready to go. And then he talks our face off. So, Dale, you have 1 minute if you're here. Are you here?
Mike!
Dale!
Mike!
Dale, go!
Mike, Maz, Jungle Jim. I got some news.
Go.
The money, Guerrero, the Super Bowl. Garoppolo and Bill were the driving force behind.
I can't understand. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to cut you off there.
You just hung up on Dale, Jimmy.
I know. It was glorious.
This guy's like the worst caller in the history of talk radio.
What? Dale, we love you.
Either he calls and rambles and doesn't have a take or his phone sucks.
Something about rubbing out Dale just, makes me feel good.
Our long commercial-free segment is next here on Felger and Maz and an agenda-free Friday. We remember the life and career of Gil Santos right after this.
Blend force drama to run it right down their throat.
Felger.
I'm a hypocrite.
Maz.
Who cares?
Felger and Maz. 98.5,
the Sports Hub. This is the first time they've felt like this, right? Like it's genuinely asking a question?
Well, I think this is the first time that we've asked this question in mid to late April the draft approached. Mm-hmm. Now, I think it's fair to wonder anytime anybody's in his 40s if that particular player is coming back for the coming season. Again, we want to say expected to return.
Sure.
But nothing official, no final word, and there is some questions and concern in some people's minds as to what he's doing and what he's thinking right now. And as long as that question and concern exists, and the only person that could dispel it is Tom Brady.
Sure.
And the only way he could dispel it is saying, hey, there's nothing to talk about. We'll be back in 2018. But we have not heard that from him as of this time. Now, maybe today he comes out and says, I'll be back. But my understanding is that won't be the case, that he's sifting through some things. Again, the sense is people think he will be back, but no official word, no official commitment. I think when you look at it right now, everybody's going to remember that they traded away the guy that was in position to succeed Tom Brady. And if Tom Brady wanted to walk away at this time, and he had done it after the season, they could have used the franchise tag on Jimmy Garoppolo and not let him get away. But they let their future get away. They traded away the future, which is a difficult proposition. So, again, I don't know that it's Tom Brady having the leverage, but I think if he were to walk away at this point, in the unlikely event that he would walk away at this point, I think people would say, whoa, how did we go from trading Garoppolo in October to Brady walking away in the spring? Something broke down between those two courses of action.
Adam.
All right, again, it's Agenda Free Friday brought to you by Planet Fitness. Everything from the week on the table, and I continue to think that's the lead story from the week. Tom Brady is still not officially committed to playing for the Patriots in 2018. That's Adam Schefter on Wednesday. And you know what amazes me, Maz? And he sort of mentioned that in that cut, saying it's, you know, it's been 2 days after reporting date and he still hasn't officially committed. Well, it's now been 2 days after Schefter's report. It's now been two full days. And I think Brady's here, right? Isn't he in Boston? Or he's in the United States anyway. It's not like he's still in the Middle East or something where he's off the grid. This story has now proliferated for two straight days. And if you want to go back to Monday when he didn't show up day one of camp, for 5 days, you know, 5, 2, 3 days. It's been days where this thing has just mushroomed and he hasn't said a word. Doesn't that tell you something?
Oh, listen, he wants them to dangle. That's what he wants. He wants them dangling. He's leaving it out there and he's letting them sort of twist. And so the other thing is, and I was just saying this to Murray, when you listen to Schefter there, right, they traded the future, which is a tough proposition to take or something like that.
Well, I played that just for you, Maz.
Well, no, but the way he says it, he almost sounds angry saying it. Like, I half wonder whether, you know, he was talking to someone in Belichick's camp or Belichick himself, and they said to him, can you believe this guy? Can you believe what he's trying to pull? I mean, we got 10 years of the future here with Garoppolo. He makes us trade him, and now he doesn't know if he wants to play?
Crazy. All right, so that's on the table from the week because it's agenda-free. That Bruins win last night, that great Bruins win last night on the table. The Red Sox, insane start on the table. We got Celtics game 3 tonight in Milwaukee. We'll hit on that as well coming up in a little bit. But we also want to spend a lot of time today, and we have, and the station's done a great job of it, Beadle and Zoe particularly, just remembering the life of Gil Santos. And you know, when someone passes like that, it's a tremendous loss for his family, obviously, but it's all of our losses, right? I mean, and this is, I didn't grow up in Boston, so this is really more for you and Jim, but this is, you know, Maz, I know you mentioned this earlier, I mean, this is a guy that you and sports fans in New England grew up with.
Yeah, go ahead, Murray, go.
Oh, yeah, no, this guy to me was, I mean, he was a broadcaster's broadcaster. I loved listening to him. And just, I have a quick story. I know we don't do story time here, but this will just take a sec. In 2005, a buddy of mine who worked for WBCN got me into the booth to watch a game for a few minutes. And I walk in, and there's Gil, booming voice that I hear, you know, just on the radio, but now I hear it live. And he, to me, he was like John Facenda. This was a guy that was put on this earth to call professional football. and I'm standing there, and I'm slack-jawed, and I'm in awe, like a super fan, and I notice he's ripping a cigarette during the broadcast.
Oh, yeah.
And it's third down, Bills, handoff McGahee, up the middle for 3 yards, sucks down the cigarette, and then goes, Bills at the 36-yard line, first down, Buffalo, out comes the smoke. It was effortless, it was ballsy, and it was maybe the coolest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. And he was just that, I couldn't even believe it. I never knew that he smoked. Like, you hear this, and I was like, this is amazing. So he was a legend, it was effortless, and one of the great broadcasters, not just locally, but of all time. And it's a huge loss.
I mean, for 30-plus years or whatever, he was the only thing to celebrate with the Patriots, for crying out loud. Seriously, they were just dreadful. And his broadcasting skills and the voice, as Murray said, impeccable.
So he was a throwback, Murray, no question about it. He's greatly missed by Patriots fans, and he will be. And again, thoughts and prayers and our condolences to the Santos family. Jim Louth, the midday producer, put together this remembrance. It's a tremendous piece of audio. It goes 4 or 5 minutes. We want to play it for you right now. It'll take you right up to the top of the hour. Murray will get you updated, no commercials, and then we'll come back and take your calls on Gil and everything else, folks. This is Felger and Maz on Agenda Free Friday, and this is for Gil Santos.
It's meant to me the fulfillment of a lifelong dream. When I was 10, 11 years old, that's when I decided I wanted to be a radio announcer.
Rogan calls signal. Rogan goes back to pass. Rogan has time. He fires. Complete to Francis. 20, 15, 10, 5. And he's in. He's in for touchdown.
I remember listening to the Rose Bowl game on January 1st at home in Fairhaven. It was cold. It was snowing. And Mel Allen was doing the Rose Bowl. And from then on, that was what I focused on. My life was a lifelong dream, was to be a play-by-play man.
Stabler is back to pass. Here comes the rush again. He gets it away, and it ball is incomplete at the 5-yard line. A penalty marker is down, roughing the passer. First down, Oakland, with 52 seconds left.
When I was a kid, I didn't learn to speak English until just before I went to the first grade, because my grandfather lived with us, and he didn't speak English, so in the house we spoke Portuguese. So they taught me to speak English just before I went to the first grade, and I find it ironic that 60-some-odd years later, I'm going into the Patriots Hall of Fame for my ability to speak English.
Bledsoe back to throw. Looks, floats to the end zone. Touchdown, the Patriots win to Kevin Turner. Drew Bledsoe's third touchdown pass of the game in overtime to Kevin Turner. And the Patriots come back from a 20-0 deficit.
Let me assure you, it was never a job.
Hit midfield. All they got to do is tackle him. The ball game is over. The Patriots win. They have won the Eastern Division.
It was an honor. It was a privilege. And I'm delighted to have been able to do it for all that time.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It's the American Football Conference championship game between the Cinderella New England Patriots and the big bad Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm happy to report that despite all the prognostications of doom, the Patriots have shown up here today and will take the field against the Steelers.
You know, you try to be as objective as possible, but on the other hand, I never wanted to leave any doubt in anybody's mind that I wanted the Patriots to win. In my heart, I'm rooting for the Patriots, and I want that to come across. And I think it does.
45-yard field goal attempt coming up. Snap, ball down, kick up on the way, and it is good!
After that game, that week, I was being interviewed on some radio station. The guy said, was that the highlight of your broadcast career up to this point? And I said, yes, absolutely. Did you ever think you can top that? And I said, only if we win the Super Bowl in a couple of weeks on the last play of the game. And don't you know it?
Oh, wow.
We win the Super Bowl on the last play of the game.
The far hash mark, angle to the left for Adam Vinatieri. 48-yard field goal attempt. Set to go. Snap, ball down. Kick up. Kick is on the way. And it is good! It's good! Terry booms a 48-yard field goal, and the game is over, and the Patriots are Super Bowl champions! The Patriots are Super Bowl champions! The best team in the National Football League!
And then you hug Gino, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yep. And we both kind of just sat there and said, my God, you know, our team just won the Super Bowl.
Oh, baby! Oh, what a finish! What a finish, Dukeroo! Oh, my God!
Today, quite frankly, is the high point of my broadcast career of more than 50 years. to be selected to the Patriots Hall of Fame.
Touchdown, Patriots! Tom Brady Randy Moss, and they each have set NFL records on the go-ahead touchdown.
Thank you for appreciating my work.
Back-to-back world championships, 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
Thank you for all the good things you've said about me.
16-0.
And for those of you who didn't like my work, can't please everybody all the time, despite the fact that you're wrong.
So the Patriots season has come to a close here in the AFC Championship game. And with it has come to a close my 36 years of broadcasting Patriots football. This is Gil Santos thanking you all for 36 wonderful years.
And the question was, can you sum up your life in 6 words? And I thought about that for 10 seconds and I said, absolutely, I can sum up my life in 6 words. I am a very lucky man. Thank you. Thank you.